Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I am live. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. It is the second day of January 2024. So happy new year. I want to let you know that I am over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button. You'll find my banner at the top of the page. And also, I am live streaming this event, so you can watch rather than listen if you would prefer. And you can do that over at YouTube or Facebook. Look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So that's how to do it. I'll be honest, it didn't occur to me until a few minutes ago that apparently maybe we're still on break. I don't know, but I came. So if we are supposed to still be on break and I'm here anyway, I apologize. It was an oversight on my part, but I already had my show scheduled, so I decided to just roll with it. So here we are. So good to see you guys. Hey, Lillian, Tiffany, Jessica, thank you very much. I like it. Believe it or not, I got this shirt for Christmas last year and just recently pulled it out this year. I was like, wait, I think I have kind of a Christmassy top. I do. So here you go. Oh my gosh. You guys, how are you? How was your holiday? Everybody hanging in there? I know that Christmas is a pretty stressful time for a lot of people and not always a completely joyful occasion. I totally get that. So I understand if that's the way it was, or if you just took a really low-key holiday. I know a lot of people just choose to do that too. But either way, I hope you had a Merry Christmas and a good New Year. We hosted New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve. I do the Eves. We do the big event at Kara's house because her house is much, much larger than mine and she has the space for it because our crew is getting pretty big. We have close to 20. And there's just not enough room at my house for everybody. I mean, there is. That's why I do the Eves, because it's a little bit less of a wild thing. So, my goodness. So on Christmas Eve, we usually do some kind of an ethnic feast. And so we did, we did Mexican and we had ordered tamales and Scott smoked a tri-tip and then also did birria with a different piece of meat. And I did my famous rice that I have a Spanish rice recipe that if I don't make it, there are certain boys in this family that are mad at me. They'll be like, what? That's why I came. So you got to make the rice. And this is the easiest Spanish rice recipe. And please, we all know this is not authentic, so I'm not going to even pretend it is, but I'll tell you what's in it. It is, you thought I was going to say Scott smoked some grass? Well, I can't say that on the air. Okay, so here's the Spanish rice recipe, in case you're wondering. So you brown some white rice in just hard white rice, dry white rice, in some olive oil or lard or butter. I use olive oil until it's getting kind of toasted. And then you add an entire jar of salsa. And then you fill that jar up with water, rinse it out, and pour all of that in too. And then I drain a small jar of green olives with pimentos and pour that in. And then I let that do the rice cooking thing until the rice is cooked and then put a bunch of cheese on it. And it's the best, I promise. It's not authentic. It's really good though. And the kids love it. So there you go. Anyway, we had a dad joke contest. It wasn't all dad jokes, but we had a joke off. So almost everyone participated too. I was amazed. There was only two people that didn't. And a lot of people, I gave everyone lots of warning, but a lot of people came with their own list of jokes. We had a game that was full of jokes so that you could just pull some cards from that if you had forgotten. But that's what we, that's how we did it. But it was so much fun and so funny. I got out early on because I could not quit laughing because, so we sat in groups of three and you had to tell your jokes to the other two people. And if you laughed, you're out. But it was kind of in rounds, and so you got scored. And I'll be fair, I think Scott was the scorer. And if my eyes even looked like I was laughing, he was marking me. Yeah. But the jokes were hilarious. It was so funny. By the time it was over, we were all absolutely dead. So I loved it. Do you want to hear a couple jokes? You probably don't, but I'll tell you a couple. There were two little old ladies sitting on a park bench, and a flasher jumped out from behind the bushes and flashed them. And the first old lady had a stroke, but the second old lady couldn't reach. You better be laughing. Okay. Also, recently, someone I know, their penis was in the Guinness Book of World Records. Amazing. I used, in the joke, I used the name of someone at our party. Well, at least it was until the librarian made them take it out. Come on. That was funny. By God, that was funny. It was so much fun. We laughed and laughed and laughed. So it's good. And then we played a couple of games. One where I had a whole bunch of wrapped gifts or gifts in bags that I laid out on my kitchen table. And I used some tape and built like a grid that like marked off where each gift would go. And then we laid out a roll of toilet paper and a wine glass filled to the very top with water. So the idea was you had to start at the end of the table and you had to pull the toilet paper roll towards you, and wherever it ended up spilling and breaking off, then you got the gift that was in that spot. And I did some nice things and some fun things, but I also did some prank things. Someone got a pregnancy test. Someone got a test to check them for weed. And somebody got some hemorrhoid cream, and somebody got some Vagisil spray. So that was nice. But here's what happened. Poor Christy got so hosed on the games. So the other game is a Red Solo Cup game where you just put a whole bunch of Red Solo Cups out. I just filled a banquet table with them. And underneath all of them is something. Some of them were 3D printed pickles. And if you got that, you had to eat a moonshine pickle. And if you've ever had moonshine pickles, whew, they had lots of, some of them had little liquor sampler bottles under them, or some chocolate, or a little bit of money. Some of them had a chocolate cherry. If you got a chocolate cherry, you had to eat a moonshine cherry. And, excuse me, so that was fun. But here's what's funny. Two cups didn't have anything under them, you know, because it's the way it goes. You guys, not only did Christy get the Vagisil spray, she also got both of the empty cups. Can you believe that? She got totally screwed on the games. But she got me back. Because when I opened up my stocking on Christmas morning, guess what was in it? Yeah, the Vagisil spray. Boo on her. Anyway, so that was Christmas Eve. It was fun. Christmas Day was great. Scott bought me, you will not believe this, a new kiln. Because I love my big kiln. But it is a huge deal to run it and takes a ton of power. I have to unplug my oven and plug the cord into it. And it's a big deal. And so you want to run it for your big projects. But just for little things like jewelry and stuff, I wanted a smaller kiln that wasn't as big of a deal. And so he got me a new kiln, which is awesome. But my kids, well, Matea and Scott, they bought me season tickets to Boise State basketball, which is wild because I'm a huge fan of Boise State basketball, the men's, huge fan, have been for a lot of years. And now I have season tickets. So realistically, we'll probably only make it down because Boise's 4.5 hours from home. But my kids live there, so we have somewhere to stay. And they bought enough tickets that we could all go. So that's pretty cool. But anyway, so I'm super, super excited about that. That's amazing. And I cannot wait to go to some games. I always just watch them on TV, and which is fine too. But now I get to watch them IRL. So pretty fun. So we definitely won't make it to all of the games. But I'm determined to at least make it to a few. Yeah, pretty cool, right? I've wanted that, or I've just wanted to go to a game for a long time. But the truth is, individual tickets are so expensive that if you go to two games, it's worth buying season tickets. Do you see my mug? It says the magic is in the hole. Now, before you jump to conclusions about what this cup is, it's from Voodoo Donut. Kev, you know you jumped to conclusions. Yes, you did. I bought it for Scott when we were in Oregon not too long ago. Anyway. Oh, Sid wanted to see my glass gift items. Yes, so one of the things I did for family this year, you know, because I'm trying to learn glass and using my kiln, I did these little tea light holders. I also did hearts and necklaces that turned out, I think, really good. These turned out okay. Like, they'll get better, but I think they turned out all right. You literally just cut a piece of glass and then decorate it with various glass things, like on this one, I had to cut little trunks for the trees out of different glass, and used some powdered glass, some chipped glass, obviously some round pieces. So I think they turned out all right. It's a start. I didn't hate them. Yeah. So it's fun. I'm excited. I'm learning. Cutting glass is, it's interesting. I ended up with a sliver in this finger that I couldn't get out for about a week. It finally worked its way out because I'm an idiot. Apparently, everybody has to do it once. I just rubbed the seam of something I had cut. I don't know why I did it. I just ran my finger up it and just long glass sliver right in the top of my finger. And it was totally my fault. Also, I didn't have gloves on. Why? Why didn't I have gloves on? Well, you know, I do now. I forgot to put pictures in the other chat room. Let me do that quick. So I think, as with all things, you probably have to make a mistake here and there to, you know, not do it anymore. By the way, if you won something in the Christmas giveaway show, I have not mailed those things yet. I am hoping to do that in the next couple of days. It's kind of a mix between letting myself off the hook and just being a little bit less attentive, and partly just being actually really busy. So anyway, I know that seems like a weird combo, but that's kind of where it was. So, but I will get your stuff out this week. Okay, Facebook, really? Why? There. Okay, I put those up in the other chat room. Not meaning to neglect anybody. Hey, Karen and Renee. Okay. Alrighty, so that was that. New Year's Eve was also at my house, and we had a cocktail making contest. This was Mars's idea, and this turned out so freaking fun. So a few days before, we just let everybody know that if you want to participate, then bring your favorite cocktail, or, you know, design one, bring everything you need. We're going to judge each other on presentation and on taste. So I didn't really know how much people would participate or if they wouldn't, you know. And everyone did. So we had 7 cocktails. So the way we did it is you made a fancy one in a big glass that was yours to drink. And then we had little tiny clear plastic cups that you'd lay out to put one together for everyone else to try. And I was so impressed. Everybody went all out. I was amazed. Even people in our group that I figured probably wouldn't do it did. And like put something awesome together. It was really fun. People even garnished the little tiny cups and made them fancy. So at the end of the day, no one won because it was too hard to decide who would win because everything was so good. So we all won, which isn't what Mars wanted to see happen because she's super competitive, you know, because she's a Scorpio and all. But that's what happened. So I just put pictures of our cocktails in the chat room, but I'm going to show them to you guys here on the live stream as well. Yeah, they're little, Sid. They're about 4 inches, 3 or 4 inches, the glass. Cutting glass is interesting. It's kind of scary. You score it, and then you tap it, and then you sometimes just snap it with your hands, or there's little breaking tools, like little pliers that you squeeze on them, and yeah. I'm getting a little more used to it, but I still jump every time. You're not supposed to break glass. Every time I break something, it startles me. All right, so let me give you a tour. This is my drink. I called this the Razzle Dazzle. Presentation did not turn out as nice as I wanted it to, but this was Prosecco and a new Empress gin. You know, I'm a fool for gin. A new Empress gin called Rose Elderberry that was amazing. And raspberry syrup and muddled fresh raspberries and lemon juice. Very good. This was Scott's drink. This was a chocolate birthday cake. It had Frangelico and chocolate cream. And those are these little ho-ho things he garnished it with. And it might have had something else. I can't remember. But it was really good. This was Mars's drink. This is a Colorado Bulldog. It had Kahlua and cream and Coke. This is Kara's. This was called Sex on a Snowbank, which I thought was funny as hell. I don't really know what all was in it, but it was delicious. And that rim is frosting, white frosting and coconut. Have you ever had those chocolates called Raffaello? It was like the liquid version of Raffaello. It was fantastic. This is Christy's drink. This was, she called it Reese's White Russian. It had Bailey's chocolate cream and peanut butter whiskey and heavy cream. And then on the top, she put peanut butter in salt to balance how sweet the drink was. It really worked. It was delicious. That is a tequila sunrise that my brother-in-law Justin made. It was a make again. It was fantastic. And then this is Rhonda's. I can't remember what this was called. Oh, it was some Surfer Beach something. It was really interesting. It had Jaeger in it. I've never had a cocktail with Jaeger. I've only ever had Jaeger neat. So that was interesting. It was good. It was really interesting. So anyway, that was the cocktail contest. I was super impressed that people actually like came to play. Yeah. Really fun. So that is what, that's kind of what we did. We didn't do anything yesterday. We laid on the couch. Surfer on acid? Probably, yes. But it was fun. Had all of the kids home for a few days. And then I've had Mars, you know, for almost a month. We'll take her home next week. But it's been good. We've had a really good break. So, Yeah, that's what's been going on around here. Obviously, it is 2024, and I don't know. Are you guys relieved to leave the new year behind or 2023 behind? Was it a great year? Was it a hard one? I'm always curious to know, like, where's your energy at on that? I'll say I'm kind of neutral on it. It wasn't a terrible year here. It wasn't. I don't know. I have no complaints. I guess it's not neutral. It was fine for me. Maureen is relieved. Yeah, I'm hearing that from quite a few people. Yeah. Well, also Mercury went direct, which I think is good because this Mercury seemed to be pretty rife with tech issues. I don't know how you guys did, but I had a lot of tech issues. And I know some of my clients had a lot of old shit come up. So that's a good reason to want to be done with Mercury. But the tech stuff around here was crazy. Sid said I used to chow down on Raffaello and Ferrero's in huge packs at Costco. I know. Ferrero's are Scott's absolute favorite candy. He got like four boxes of them for Christmas. We've been slowly working through them. Yeah. Jessica said 2023 was okay, but a few tougher times. Oh, Marina said some good things, which I'm grateful for, and even the tough lessons. That's a good perspective. Kev said, so according to astrology, Pluto is exiting Capricorn, which means relief for Cappies. Oh, good. Good for you, good for my Cappy son. He seems to be really affected by the by things like that. I don't know what just happened. Tiffany said it was mixed for her too. Lillian said she hopes 2024 is better for all of us. It's going to be a roller coaster of a year in some ways and in others. I think we just have to find ways to thrive in any way we can, regardless of some of the outside chaos. Obviously, politically here in the US, it's going to be another hard year. And it's like a ride we can't get off of anymore. But in other ways, I hope it is better. I really, really hope it is better for anyone who felt like 2023 was a really hard year. And I hope it's better for all of us, because why not? What do we say in manifesting? This or something better? Mixed for Maya too. Yeah. A childhood friend's dad died yesterday. He had cancer. I grew up across the street from this family, and so I've known them since I was tiny. And it really made me start thinking about my childhood and about that family and growing up in the neighborhood I did, and just feeling really grateful for the people I grew up around. I will throw some jabs here and there and bitch about the religion I was raised in. But I'll tell you what, I got really lucky in a lot of ways, the people that I was raised around. But many years ago, when I was in high school, my dad always made sure we had cars. They were shit cars, but they were cars. And a lot of my friends didn't have a car at all. So we were just grateful to have cars. But they were cars that he was paying like $100 for, you know. So they had like flat tires every day and didn't have a paint job anymore. They were just Christie's car was matte gray all the way through high school. So we both drove Chevy Cavaliers, old ones. Mine was maroon-ish, you know, with not a lot of pretty paint, but it was maroon. Christie's was flat gray. And sometimes, if somebody was parked behind you when you were leaving, you'd just jump in their car, because back then we never locked our cars and left the keys in them. That's how it was in this little town. Not so much anymore, but that's how it used to be. And anyway, so one day I had, for whatever reason, I had driven her car to work, to school, and she had driven my car to school, which again wasn't rare for us. We just you drove what was there and what was parked where you could get to it. Well, when I came home from school, she was backing out of the driveway. She was leaving for work. So I pulled up on our street in front of our house, and she looked like she was backing out. So me, thinking that she saw me, and that she'd just back out and I'd pull into her spot and she would leave, sat there and waited. But she, being someone who doesn't believe in scraping off the back windshield, apparently, came burning out of the driveway and slammed right into me. So we wrecked with each other in front of our house, driving each other's cars. And we both got out of our cars, yelled at each other for a minute. She got in her car and left for work, and I got in my car and pulled it into the driveway. Now, nobody's car was seriously hurt. You know, it was a driveway accident. But unbeknownst to us, our neighbor Dennis witnessed the whole thing. And we hadn't talked about it because, you know, what teenager tells their parents when they wreck their car? But Dennis told my dad, absolutely crying. He was laughing so hard about what he witnessed happen between us and outed us that we wrecked our cars. But I have to say that even in like recent years running into Dennis, he breaks that up and laughs himself to tears about how funny that was. And yeah, I'm going to miss that. What a cool guy. So lots and lots of love to the Birch family. Damn it. Fuck cancer. Per always. Anyway, I've just been laughing about that, thinking about him and that experience. And I will say that even now, after close to 30 years, we still blame each other. It's probably been more than 30 years. We still blame each other. That was totally Christy's fault. It was. She didn't scrape the back windshield. What could I do? She thinks it's my fault because I didn't get out of the way when I saw her coming. Well, I didn't think she'd crash into me. It's only been 30 years. We can't stop fighting about it yet. I know, Tiffany, me too. Gosh. It sucked losing my parents. It was awful. But now here we are 12 years down the road, and some of my friends are really starting to lose their parents, and it's hard to see. Really hard to see. Boo! Okay, well, let's move on to something happier. Who needs that? Let's pull up Luminous. Hold on, just checking the chat room. Karen said it was not a great year for her and starting out the same. Ah, boo, Karen. I'm sorry. Okay, I am putting links in the chat rooms. I'm going to pull up Luminous here. And we'll talk about a few things. Right, Sid? You cannot make that stuff up. You know, I have to tell you one other thing. This was not me. My dad's best friend was this guy named Reed. And Reed was the funniest person I have ever met. To this date, the funniest person I've ever met. And Reed was this enormous man. He was like 6'6 and well over 400 pounds. He was just a bear of a human. But just the funniest, silliest. He came into my dad was a barber. He came into the barber shop one day. And it used to be that a lot of those guys would just, they'd go over on their lunch breaks. They'd just sit in there and, you know, shoot the bull. It was what they did. And anyway, one day Reed was in the barber shop and said to my dad that the doctors told him that he has anorexia. And the customer that was in my dad's chair was looking at Reed, this massive man. So my dad plays into it and he goes, "Really? Anorexia, huh? Well, how'd you come to that conclusion?" And he said, "Well, every time I look in the mirror, I see a fat person." His customer was so perplexed. Anyway, that's not even the joke I was going to tell you, but so funny. But anyhow, so Dennis had a daughter, or not Dennis, sorry, Reed had a daughter that was my age named Hillary. And Hillary was going to I don't know, somewhere one day. Well, Reed was trying to sell. He had an old classic car that he'd fixed up, and he was trying to sell it. And he had a guy at their house that was looking at it, and they were haggling a deal. So they'd already, it was parked across the street from their house. They were just standing there in the, like the near the driveway, haggling out a price and working out the details. When Hillary came burning out of the driveway in their big old Suburban, smashed into the side of that car, and then just kept going. Apparently didn't even know she did it. Reed standing there with a buyer who looked at Reed and looked at the car and said, I don't think I want it anymore. Of course he didn't. She like muffed it up good. Can you believe that? As a kid, I don't, my parents thought that was the funniest thing in the world. I don't know if I got it until I had teenage drivers, and now I get it. Yep. That's a kid for you right there. Oh, gosh. Well, I went with the firework cover for the 4th. Did you guys have fireworks? Oh, man. My dogs were beside themselves. I called this edition the You Are Fine edition because this is the time of year that gets super predatory with self-help and self-improvement. Now, look, if you want to do self-help, if you want to do self-improvement, do it. I don't care. Good for you. However, this is when women especially start getting marketed heavily for their weight. It's when people start getting marketed on very heavily to go to the gym, to take a class, to, you know, get a great deal on Botox or whatever. But this time of year is such a big one for that. And again, if there's things you are choosing to do and you want to, and it feels good to you, more power to you, of course. But I just wanted to remind you that you're okay. You don't have to change anything about yourself unless you want to. Now, in that note, I did write an article about how to set kick-ass goals that stick. Let's not do New Year's resolutions. They're so vapid. They don't work. They always fall apart anyway. However, I do think there is some energy in setting some goals. And I like setting goals for multiple reasons. I mean, partly because goal setting, at least for me, helps me to get something accomplished because I can be an epic time waster. But I think setting goals also can be a really good serotonin boost. Having something to work on, having something to look forward to can be good for you. It can also be bad for you. So you have to find that happy medium where this feels healing and healthy to me versus I have too much pressure on myself and I'm failing and I don't like it, right? There has to be a place there where you find your comfort zone. But let's talk about some goals. Be specific. No more vague vibes. Instead of saying I want to exercise more, try something like I'm going to crush a 30-minute jog 3 times a week or, you know, a little yoga or Pilates or stretching or whatever. But be specific about it. That is one of the things that makes New Year's resolutions frequently fail is the lack of being specific or being way too extra. You're not going to run a 5K every day. I don't care what great shape you're in. You're probably not. Maybe you will. Good for you if you do. But a lot of people won't. And we put out unrealistic goals. So keeping it real is really important. So don't set goals that you can't live up to. Baby steps. Realistic. If you do more than that, good for you. But don't set goals that are so outrageous that you can't get them done. Small wins, big vibes. Big goals can be like starting up a mountain, intimidating as hell. Break them into bite-sized pieces. This is really important. Little victories that make you feel like a champ and keep that motivation train chugging. Listen, all goals should be broken down into smaller goals, right? It's easier when you do that. When your goal is to climb Everest, You don't just book a plane ticket and go climb Everest, right? You start training. And you probably train for a year, and you probably climb some smaller mountains, and you do some altitude training. And point being, you set smaller goals to achieve the larger goals. Also, don't climb Everest. We are ruining Everest with all of our climbing of it and polluting it and shitting all over it and people dying on it that they can't get out. And we should leave Everest alone. But that's a completely different conversation. Okay. Pick your battles. We all want to be multitasking wizards, but reality check, it's not always doable. Focus on one or two goals at a time. Juggling too many at once is a surefire way to drop the ball. And it is. You don't have to do everything all the time. When I was trying to get my first book finished, I know I've told you this story before, but when I was trying to get my first book finished, I had hired a coach because I was doing a bad job getting it done by myself. I was procrastinating and putting it off. And the coach, the idea for me of the coach was that she would help me to get my shit together, get organized, but also that she, I'm a Cancer, I am cheap. Right. So if I'm paying for it, then by God, I'm going to use it. And I did finish my book under her and it made sense. It worked. But one of the things she said to me, I sat down and said, hey, I've written most of this book. I've walked away from it for more than a year. I just want to finish it. I need some guidance. I need some help moving forward. I also needed, she's a writer and I needed some practical, like grammatical help, things like that too. And she was great. But she said, okay, yeah, we can do that. So tell me, what are you going to give up? What am I going to give up? Yeah. What are you going to give up? And I said, I don't think I follow. And she said, you are very busy. I know that about you. She said, what are you going to give up while you finish this? Because you're going to probably have to sacrifice something so that you have time to do this. Interesting. For me, I gave up internet time. I was wasting plenty of time online. And when I really evaluated my schedule, I realized that all the time that I was on Facebook, I could be writing a book, and that's what I did. But for all of us, pick your battles. There's a few digital jobs that I do every day. In the mornings, I write the Daily Dish. I do some digital work. I create a meditation. And there's several things I do. And over Christmas, while I was still trying to get all my gifts finished and our parties planned and all those things, I realized I need to let myself off the hook on something. So all the digital work I put on pause and started it back up yesterday. I gave myself a big long break. And that was good. That was the right decision. Sometimes you just can't do it all the time. It's okay. Roll with the punches. Life's got a knack for throwing curveballs. Stay flexible and don't be afraid to switch things up when unexpected stuff goes down. It's not about avoiding obstacles. It's about dodging, weaving, and still winning the game. And sometimes winning the game is giving yourself some grace, right? Sometimes winning the game is actually giving yourself an opportunity to take a little bit of a break. All right. So there you go. Set a countdown. Do set some timelines. They make them realistic, make them smart, but do set some timelines so that you do the things you want to do. I know. It's easy to rebel against yourself. Hey, Jess. She said, I love that. What are you going to give up? My perfectionist mind shadow stops me from scheduling my life in reality. This is such an insight game changer. Good. And I get that too. I think that we are the worst at showing ourselves grace. When someone else doesn't get something done, we're like, oh, well, that's okay. You've had a lot going on. Like, it's all right. Don't worry about it. But when we don't get something done, we're like, pah! You could do better. Maybe you couldn't. Maybe you legit could not. It's okay if you don't. Hey, JR. Okay. Kelly brings us Bitchstrology for the week of 2024. And she has got lots of good thoughts for us. always, of course, that it's a fact that Mercury went direct and how we're glad to see that. She had some thoughts on goal setting as well and resolutions. And talking about astrology. So she's got some good thoughts here, but of course, she also has her full bitch scopes over at on Patreon on her bitch scopes or Persuary Spiritual. It's not either of those things. What is it? Come on, get it together. I will tell you. House of Bleep on Patreon. If you go find that, you can subscribe. It's like $5 a month, and then you can read all of her bitch scopes every week, and she gets reimbursed for her time because she puts a ton of time into her scope. So if you're interested in that, and you should be, go over to Patreon and take a look. But I want to read you this last paragraph because I loved it. While we have some inner work to do, let's not go apeshit, as my mom would say. Take it easy. Let's start the year off soft. Let's start this make-believe transition off with kindness to ourselves. Let's recognize our own beauty and honor it. There are plenty of transits this year to freak out about and panic about the shifts. Let's do this one with grace and ease. I'm all in, Cal. Sounds good. All right. My tip this week is 5 essential oils to shift a bad mood. We've had some really interesting days lately where everybody is very low, a little depressed, very sad, just very flat. And so it's a good time to talk about easy fixes like aromatherapy that can just make a quick shift. So as always, bergamot. Bergamot is a mood stabilizer. It helps a ton. Bergamot can be worn. It can be diffused. It could be huffed straight from the bottle, but bergamot makes a huge difference. Lavender. Lavender is great for alleviating anxiety, so it's a must on an anxious or grumpy day. Clary sage. Now, some people hate lavender, and if you do, use clary sage in its place. They have really similar aromatherapy properties, but clary sage is great for balance. And so it's a good one to use. Clary sage is also a game changer for menopause. Years ago, Young Living, they had emerged as the really big essential oil MLM, and everybody was doing Young Living, and Young Living was crazy expensive, but people loved it. And Young Living, because they're stupid, they released a product for women for hormonal balance, hormonal stabilization. And they called it Dragon Time. Dragon Time! So as you can imagine, women didn't appreciate that at all. Like, what were they thinking? They had to change the name. No big surprise. However, Dragon Time was nearly all clary sage and mint. And it worked, and people loved it. When we still had our store, people bought clary sage from us right and left for menopausal symptoms. Interesting. So, you know, if you are in a place of Dragon Time or no Dragon Time, either way, you might try clary sage. It actually is very helpful. Rosemary. Rosemary is great for boosting memory and relieving stress. Rosemary, of course, can be diffused. It can be worn. You can just cook with it, eat rosemary. Rosemary is a great aromatherapy or aromatherapy oil to have in your medicine cabinet, but it's also a great herb to be using frequently. And then jasmine. And we're kind of getting to that point. Usually it's right about Valentine's Day that you can start buying jasmine plants. I wish I knew how to keep them alive. I buy a pretty one every year. By the time the flowers fall off, it has died. Maybe that's just the way they are, but I wish I could keep one going. But either way, Manuel, they're still here. They smell amazing. So consider some jasmine. Jasmine oil is perfect for boosting self-esteem and is really good at making you feel good. So those are some oils, some feel-good oils for you. Okay. Well, that's just me. All right. Christy's energy exercise this week is a Shakti manifesting video. It's brief, but a great one to help work on manifesting stuff. I really like the new art this week, too. I wanted to stick more with the winter theme, but wanted to make sure we got away from a holiday theme, and yeah, I think we nailed it. All right, lots going on over at True Crime Squad, I'm sure you know. the Epstein list, you know, that's the big conversation right now. The Epstein list is supposed to come out this week. It was eligible to be released yesterday. So they're saying that it'll be about 170 names of Epstein associates. These are people who had traveled with him, some people that had been to his island, some people that have not. It's not really a list. And so it's going to be interesting. And the judge had given people up until yesterday to file an objection. It sounded like that was mostly in an attempt to protect victims, because this comes from, it's really not a list. It is a transcript from a lawsuit that contains all of these names. Because in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, they referred to them as Doe. Doe 1, Doe 2. People say that they think Trump was Doe 35 or 36. Or no, Bill Clinton was. Anyway, I mean, the two of the biggest names on that list are Trump and Clinton, and lots of others. Now, just because you're on the list doesn't necessarily mean that you're a pedophile or that you were at his island, you know, sleeping with children, or raping children. There, we don't know. You know, Epstein was rubbing shoulders with a lot of really powerful people and rich people. And some of them are like, yeah, I knew the guy. Yeah, I attended some of his parties. What? I had no idea this stuff was going on. And some of them are probably telling the truth, and some of them are not. So it's going to create a firestorm either way. But the list could have come out as soon as late last night or first thing this morning. I have not seen anything yet. But again, it's not a list. It is a transcript from a lawsuit. It's hundreds and hundreds of pages. And so I'm thinking that probably what we'll see is lots of media sources will have teams of people combing through the list and compiling the list. And we all will probably have access to read that entire lawsuit if you want to, but who the hell would have time? Anyway, I don't know, guys. That's going to be interesting. We've been asking for that list to be released for a few years now. I think it should be. And I think we all deserve to know, who are we dealing with? Who are we spending our dollars with? Who, no one's charged with anything, to be fair, but who are we spending our dollars with? Who are we putting in places of power? Epstein went to prison for some of these sex crimes clear back in the 2000s. How many of these people continued to hang out with him after that, continued to go to his island or his events or his parties or his houses? And if they did, why? Why? Anita brings us the goddess Athena. She is the patroness of Athens, and her symbol is the owl. She comes forward to you a lot as the owl. And there's some information here about her and how to connect with her. I don't know if Jasmine just needs a warmer climate to be an annual. I only keep it inside. I've tried to just keep it inside as a houseplant. You can usually buy these cute little plants of it that are like strung on a little heart-shaped wire or something like that. Oh, why? Why do we have to have a troll? Twin flame Scorpio cards. Boo on you. You're getting blocked. Bad, bad, bad. Wow, they moved fast. Holy cow. Let me delete their comments. Ugh. It's always Facebook, too. Always. It's fine. It's probably fine. Jamie had a fun episode with her daughter, Tatiana, talking about transition. I put up some new meditations over at Planet Meditation, including a Capricorn meditation, since we are in their domain now. And there you have it. That is luminous this week. So good. Lillian said, if time allows, please send healing to my right ear, an area where the tooth was extracted today. Let's do that right now. Okay. Yeah. You know, everything is so tiny in your, around your ears, your sinuses, all of those little tiny systems. And it doesn't take very much inflammation, infection, swelling to really put a wrench in the whole works. So, just wrapping all of that up with a lot of light. And I'm going to put a chi ball of aquamarine over your whole head to see if we can just help you continue to cool that inflammation. I suspect, Lillian, it's going to take you a few days, but by next Monday, you're going to be feeling like a new guy. And that wasn't to say that you're going to be like super uncomfy until then at all. It's just a gradual change. Good. Okay. All right. There you go. Okay. I thought it might be fun to just pull a few cards. For all of us. For the new year. And I am doing my 12-month readings. If you typically buy one of those or if you've thought about it, it is an hour with me on a Zoom call. Well, actually, we'll do it through this same medium I do my show through, but so that we can actually look each other in the face, and I'll pull cards for you for all 12 months of the year, and we'll talk about it. They're fun. They're fun readings. So I'll grab a link from One to Listen for you as well, but I've already sold a few of those and have started doing them. So that's always a fun January tradition around here, or November, December for some of you. Some people, for some reason, I didn't pull that down this year. Usually I pull it down by the end of January. I left it up and actually sold a few like mid-year, which I thought was wild, but we'll take it. Okay. All right, so the first card is awareness. So we're starting out this year quite self-aware. I think that's very true. And aware of who we are and what we want. And then the accelerated motion card. The accelerated motion typically, and we're talking like February, March there, basically just means that, and I know this will come as a surprise, we'll start feeling like things are moving really fast. If you don't already feel that way, and you might, because the last few years we have felt like things were moving really fast. But that will accelerate even further. And then sometime around April-ish, April, May, disruption. Boo. But the disruption card typically indicates that there's going to be some chaos, maybe some global chaos, maybe some chaos in your own life. But one thing I know about those experiences is that this too shall pass. And you just have to keep your head on straight and focus on the things that do make you happy, and it'll get better. Moving on into the summer, the card is deception and envy. So I think that's a time where we have to be very careful about deception. I think some of that will have to do with media, with what you're reading, with what you're consuming, what you are listening to. And I think some of that will absolutely have to do with more global things. I would watch for deception in the workplace. I would watch for deception as it applies to family members, but really watch for deception over the summer. Moving into the fall, the card is power. This sometimes indicates power struggles, but a lot of times it indicates us coming into our own power and refusing to get boxed out of it. So I'm going to go with that, that we're just getting more powerful. And the last card for the year is triumphant success. Okay, we'll take it. We like triumphant success. Yes. Yeah, Sid, you can do that anytime. I'll just leave it up again like I did this last year. It's totally fine. So I did just put some links in the chat room for that reading if you're interested in it. And again, there's no rush. You can definitely do it anytime. But that 12-month reading is kind of fun. Plus, we get to be on one-on-one with each other face-to-face for an hour, which is nice as well. And it's recorded, so you get the recording of it too, so that you can, you know, go back later and review it. I know some of my people that buy this every year and every month, they go back and review what, you know, the next month is coming and what we talked about, and what was said and what cards were pulled. It's interesting. It's definitely a reading that's gotten to be a real favorite for some folks. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Well, guys, we did it. Here we are at the end of the show that was not to be, but was. And I'll be back next week. Don't forget, I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. That's number 2listen.com. You can find me over there every single day. And yes, I did work on Christmas. And yes, I did work on New Year's. I always do, because I know that sometimes you guys need me during stressful times, and that's the holidays. So I'm here. If you ever do need me over at 12listen and I'm not available, just do a callback request and I will get back to you as fast as I can. That's the best way to do that, so that I know that somebody's waiting for me. All righty, you guys, please take good care of yourselves. You are so worth it. Thanks for being here. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.